Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
People online, you're great, wherever you are around the world. God bless those Americans, they get up in like the middle of the night to come and listen to us, don't they? Obviously not much going on in America, so generally, sorry. Are you good this morning? Good, good. Just, it is funny, just when Alan, I was going to call you. What is your name again? Adam. Just when Alan there in the front row. I have this theory about, you know those people who do, you know the way there's like trends with things, right? And people do things. I'm absolutely convinced that most people who do that cold water swimming hate it. Because like, why would you? I think now, granted, there's a wee core of people who are half crazy and they probably love it. And then there's a bit of the rest is just peer pressure. Tell the truth. You do it for Instagram, I know you do. You're addicted. See, so I have this theory. I reckon most people hate it, but their mates go, come on, go cold water swimming, it's brilliant. Oh, I love it. All right? Like, what would be better than, you know, picking your way through shells and whatever else at 6 o'clock in the morning at Crawfordsburn? Like, I can think of a million things I would rather do. And but anyway, it's just a wee theory. But you're going to tell she absolutely love it, don't you? You liar, absolute liar. So you'll be glad to know everything went well last week with the furniture building. I was able to, my dad said he would help, and I was like, oh no. It's like, oh, you know what? He's like, going to have to help him as well. You know, because he's not very experienced at all that stuff. But, you know, you know, I was like, no, Dad, no, leave it that. You know, you really need to go there. You know, my dad used to work for Habitat for Humanity. You know, the people who build houses. So I'm guessing like an IKEA wardrobe was probably okay for him. But he had this thing when he was working with the volunteers. I'm just going to out you here, Father. If you ever were on building site with him, building like proper houses, and he didn't like you or he thought you were rubbish, he would give you screws to count. Like, go and count them screws when you know how many screws there are. A couple of times last week, see, I remember this. And I had it logged, right? So I was like, I know him, I know. And he would say, here, check how many of those wee things there are in that bag. And I was like, I know what you're doing, old fella. Don't think that's escaped me. I know exactly what you're at. Count the wee thingies. And then I'd go, there's five. No, no, the other ones. And I'm like, oh, for goodness sake. But you know what? I just shut my mouth and went with it anyway. Right, he's ready to receive the word this morning. Amen. You can get your Bibles out if you bring them. That would be helpful. Because one of the things that, one of the things I love about our church, we're a church which is all about the grace of Jesus. I was listening to Pastor Prince this week, as I do. I'd really encourage you to do that. If you don't listen to, you know, good grace teaching, you get really good grace teaching here for sure. But Pastor Joseph Prince is a friend of ours, actually. But also, just this week, I was just listening to stuff and my head was exploding with the goodness of God. As you listen, you just go, holy smokes. Like, it's funny, because when you do what I do, you tend to get a lot of people going, look, you know, this whole thing of balance, right? Balance in the word, you know, just. And you know, it struck me this week, I was listening to pastors talk about stuff, and actually what struck me was, like, when we say that, what we're actually saying is you just need a wee bit less of Jesus and a wee bit more of you. See, when you say it that way, doesn't it sound ridiculous? Just a wee bit more of you and a wee bit less of Jesus. Let's just dial the grace thing back a little bit, because that could be dangerous for you. You know, and you're kind of going, when you say it like that, you go, how crazy do you need to be, right? And still be like upright. You know, it's like, what does that even look like? Of course we don't need any. I think what we need in our lives is less of us and more of him. It's not, well, somebody in the Bible did say that, you know, the whole thing of he must increase and I must decrease. Just chucking that out, that's actually not my revelation, that was in the Bible, all right? And so just want to encourage you, week after week after week, particularly in the days that we live in, it's like the Lord says, just come and let your revelation of me get bigger and bigger and bigger still. And when the naysayers and the doubters and the religious folks tell you, oh, just be careful, you need to balance out the message of God's grace, just say, yeah, I need to balance it out with more of Jesus on both sides of the fulcrum, if you like. That's a seesaw, Alan, okay? I know the cold can do things to your head, right? And these big words like fulcrum, you might go, what is it? But oh it there. That's going to stick, you know. Everyone's going to call you that from now on. You just need Jesus on both sides, all right? And that's why we preach grace week after week after week. And I've been talking to you from, actually, that's what 1 Peter 1:13 says, isn't it? As we finish off, I'm going to finish off this very short mini series on Exodus 34, where when he's writing, Peter says, set your hope where fully. You know, and there's a reason why I say these things at the start of every sermon to recap. It's because you won't get it first time. You know, you don't hear it. Like the whole point of receiving the word this morning is not to go, yes, I've heard that before. You said that last week, just give me something new. It's about coming to the place where you go, actually, I need to, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Do you get that? Faith doesn't come from, I heard, right? Knowledge puffs up. That's not what we want. Oh yeah, I know what that means. And the Christian church is full of people who go, oh yes, I've heard that before. Give me something new. And I kind of go, hold on a second. Faith comes by hearing the word and hearing the word. And sometimes the same thing repeated, you know, quite a lot of the time. And then there's a moment, isn't there, where you go, oh, flip. Okay, it's now starting to sink in, all right? Does everyone know what that means? Yeah, that's what it's kind of like for me anyway. And so in 1 Peter 1:13, it says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of Jesus that will be brought to you when he is revealed. And so what I've been saying in these, and I'm going to finish off with one word this week, and it's this word, faithful. And I think if there's ever a time right now where we need to know that God is faithful, it's in the days that we live in, isn't it? All right, because there's stuff pressing in on every side for people, whether it's finances or future or health or whatever. Even in our own church, there's tons of stuff going on. And so one of the things that I do whenever I feel like things press in on the outside is I go, you know, I go to that place where I go, Jesus, you have an answer for every question. Whatever my question is, the answer is Jesus. And so I need to find what the Lord says about my situation or somebody else's situation in the word, and I need to go to that place before anything else. And I'm going to talk about that today because that's what Moses does here in Exodus 34. Remember, our context is that it's like, what do you do whenever, you know, I've been saying, like, or what does God do to you? How does Jesus reveal himself, or God reveal himself, and then we see it fulfilled in Jesus whenever you are making a mess of things? Like, can you depend on God? What does God say to you? What does he turn up like whenever, in the middle of life, despite your best efforts, you know that you're just not making the grade, all right? Because religion will kill you for it. Religion will say you're finished. Religion will say there is no way you're receiving anything from God in those moments of failure. Whereas grace says, grace actually, you know, I said, you know, that whole thing of Peter on the water, when you sink, grace reaches out his hand. Jesus reaches out his hand to pick you up, all right? And that's a good word, isn't it? And so what I've been saying over the last few weeks is all about that. You know, they fall, these guys, you know, they fall at the first hurdle. There's, you know, Moses up the mountain making the covenant for the people to live by. And they're having a whale of a time at the bottom of the mountain. You know, and God says, have no other gods before me. No problem, we can do that. Okay, let's build a golden calf, right? They just completely screw it up before they even got started. Anyone ever feel like you mess it up before you even get started? Oh, holy smokes. Welcome to my life. You know what I mean? Welcome to Alan's life. This is what it's like, all right? All right? You just feel like you mess it up before you even get going. And then you go, so where do I go from here? All right, and so what happens is, you know, we fill our lives then in an attempt to fill that sense of meaning and purpose and all sorts of stuff. We fill our lives with ministry or money or reputation or education or career or whatever it happens to be. Any number of functional gods that you like that we try to derive some sense of meaning from, and all the time they're just taking the place of God. And that's what's going on right here. So we have this picture-perfect view of what grace looks like, because when God passes in front of Moses, in the middle of them making a mess, right? It's just this beautiful picture. The first time the five biggest attributes of God are revealed in scriptures in this moment. And so it's like, if you want to talk, as Pastor Prince talks about the law of first mention and all that kind of stuff, that's important. But what you see is, when we see five in the Bible, we see that this is the number of God's grace. And what you see is the kind of perfect encapsulation, if you like, of what God is like whenever you're making a mess. And it gives, what is the point of that? So we can go, oh, isn't God good? Yes, but so that we can all go, oh, it's his goodness, not mine. So even in the middle of my mess, he is still blessing me. He is still favoring me. He is still protecting me. He is still working behind the scenes of my life. He is not counting my mess against me, but as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed it all from me. Why? So that today you and I can boldly approach the throne of God in full confidence and ask for whatever we need. Amen? That's the goodness and the grace of God. And so what happens is God, you know, with all this going on, he says, Exodus 34, 6 and 7, our key verses. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, did that week one. Slow to anger, abounding in love, that was week two. And faithfulness, which is today. Then it goes on to say, he maintains love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. Yet he does not leave. Isn't it crazy? Even that, I go, like, forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. It's sometimes we are so barefaced about it, aren't we? Like right in front of God, wickedness, rebellion, and sin. And God looks at it and goes, I forgive it. In fact, in Jesus, he goes, I've already forgiven it. And when you do it tomorrow, it's already forgiven for you. Past, present, and future, all dealt with by the one sacrifice. Isn't that incredible? Like right in his face. And yet he still says, I don't see it. I see the work of Jesus for you. That is unbelievable grace, isn't it? It's scandalous. And so right in front of the Lord's face, he says, I choose to see for us through the lens of the finished work of Christ. And so he says, he doesn't leave the guilty unpunished. I talked about that in week one. He punishes the children of their children for the sins of their fathers, third and fourth generation. Covered that off in week one. Okay, so let's get into this last one today. All right, have you been enjoying learning a wee bit of the Hebrew and all that kind of stuff? It's quite good fun, isn't it? Now, this one's brilliant. Do you know that our lives as believers is always we are responding to what? What do you respond to? You respond to a revelation of who Jesus is revealed. Do you get that? This whole thing of revelation and response, this idea of revelation and response, is hardwired and hard-baked through the whole of Scripture. And in fact, even when it comes to the gospel of grace, that's the way we're meant to live, right? We're meant to live is with a growing revelation of Jesus and what he has done. And as we see that, not just in our heads with a cerebral understanding, but a heart conviction and a heart understanding of that, we respond to God's goodness and love for us. Does that make sense? So this thing of God revealing these things about him is so that our response will be, okay, it almost... Like in this one, God is going to reveal himself as faithful. And so our response to that is trust. Does that make sense? That's really important, particularly for these days that we live in, because God just doesn't reveal himself in some way and then go, sure, it's not that interesting. It's how we respond to what he has revealed that makes the difference in your everyday. And so when God is revealing faithfulness, what he's saying to the people here is, when I, and it's this interesting word, emet, E-M-E-T, right? And it's translated as faithfulness or even truth in one way. And it's related to another word, amen. You know the word amen? Amen, brother, amen, and all that. All right, so those words, emet, is really closely linked to amen. And in Hebrew, it's almost like saying, that's the truth, all right? That's the truth. You get it? So whenever we say amen, it's translated for us as so be it, all right? In Hebrew, it's actually that's truth. It's like an affirmation of flip me, that's true. Now, Jesus is going to be the full embodiment of that. I'll show you that from John chapter 8 and John 14 later on. But this thing of God, you know, for you today, you know, if ever there was a time where we, right, are being pushed on where we place our trust, it's right now, because the world is bonkers, isn't it? It's bonkers. You know, I'm getting to the stage where I want to be one of those weirdos who lives off the grid, right? Who stocks pasta and bogro and tins of beans, right? And lives in the hills of Craigantlet or somewhere like that. I'd probably need to go further away. To be fair, I'd probably need to go further than Craigantlet. But you get the sense, because no. Like, Alan's up Scrabble. We could go up there, right? He's up Scrabble in his dry robe every morning doing whatever, right? You're going to eat touch this morning. I just like it. But you know what I mean? Because every time I switch on the news, I get madly depressed. So do you know what I've stopped? I've stopped switching it. Can I just recommend? Stop listening to the news, right? It is the biggest, most horrific agenda ever. I am sick, sore, and tired of it. Now, I'm not saying be weird, all right? You kind of need to know what's going on, right? I run a business, for goodness sake. If I landed in kind of going, what's going on in the world today then? I mean, I might look a wee bit odd. But see, that constant diet of fear, negativity, could be, potentially, maybe. Do you know what it's for? It's about getting you hooked on fear so they can control you. And you are a product. Do you get that? If you're not paying for something, guess what? You're the product. So see, with your social media and everything else, when you're doing this all day, you're the product. Let's just get real about it. And we've got, I'm going off on one here, right? Flipping. But I have noticed the difference even this week, can I be honest? Just disconnecting. Like really disconnecting. You know, walking out and going, what's going on here today, all right? Do you know what's really, you kind of walk around the same world with a totally different feel about it. I really want to encourage you in it. Oh, well, you just need to know at least once a day. No, you don't, right? Can I just say the people who write this stuff are not doing it with your best interest at heart. They want you afraid. They want to get your attention, and they want you afraid. That's a really crappy way to live. Let me just be really honest. Now, and this is from someone who was a news addict, right? An absolute news addict many years ago, pennies to crack up. But what I found is that even this week, right, where just a different sense of peace in my own heart and spirit as I thought more about what the Lord was saying. Sounds awful holy, doesn't it? It's not. It's dead practical. So see, on a Tuesday afternoon when it's all pressing in, the worst thing you want to do is go, I just wonder what, whatever. Do you know what? One that always makes me laugh is your woman from ITV, Nina Nana, right? Her first name is Nina, and her second name is Nana, right? She's a reporter. Now, listen, I'm sure she's fantastic. I just want to ask Mr. and Mrs. Nana what the heck they were thinking. You know, when they had a daughter, and they went, I tell you what a brilliant name for her would be, Nina. Nina Nana. Aye, works for me. You would have called her anything else. Anyway, I digress. That was the only funny thing I had this week. Oh, Nina Nana reporting. I'm going, Nina, anyway, Mr. and Mrs. Nana or whatever, flip me. So the thing is, right, what I have found is just disconnecting from that has helped me to trust. I felt more confident, even in the last few weeks, in terms of who God is and what he says to me. Do you know why? Because I don't have any competing forces. Like the spirit of the age and the spirit of the world nipping at you all the time. Vying for your heart, your attention, and your trust. And this is really when God reveals himself as faithful. In this Exodus 34, it's because he wants you to respond. As he reveals faithful, he wants you to respond with trust. And what I would say is actually some of us need to be a wee bit more single-minded around what we allow into our lives. That's my point. We need to be a little bit more focused and a little bit more careful about what we give access to. Because one of the things that is true is that you cannot expose yourself to all of that kind of stuff and think that it doesn't affect you. It does. And do you know where it gets to the root of? Where are you putting your faith? Who you really trusting? Because the Lord promises under the gospel of his good grace, right, is that there will be a place of safety, protection, of meaning and purpose and trust and confidence for the days ahead. But it will not. You don't get a bit of that from everywhere. You get it fully in him, in Emmet. That's what he talks about in this verse. Anyway, I wasn't going to say that, but might have spoken to someone. Right, so Emmet, let me just talk about this word. It's brilliant because it says here, he's abounding in love. And then this last thing, number five, is faithfulness. So Emmet in the Hebrew Bible, if we look at originally at what it means, because this is what the Lord's wanting to reveal to us. And sometimes when we go just a little bit behind the meaning, we start to see a whole lot more. Because Emmet can mean truth. It can mean correct ideas, it can mean concepts, all right? And so it's because like the whole idea of emet has got to do with stability and reliability. So that's that word faithfulness. It's being stable and reliable. You know, like whenever Moses held up his hands to defeat the Amalekites, remember that bit in the Bible? Some of you going, having a clue? You should read it sometime, it's awesome. What happened was when as Moses lifts up his hands, what his friends did was they put a rock underneath each of his arms to support his hands, right? And that's so his hands would remain, in Hebrew, emet. It means they wouldn't budge. They would remain steady, right? And they would be, and you could rely on it. Now, that's one thing. Now, whenever it's used of people as an example, it describes character, like a stable character or a character who is worthy of trust. So whenever Moses, still around in this thing of Exodus, appoints leaders in Israel, what does he look for? He looks for people of emet, the same word. That's what it says when you read originally. It says people who are trustworthy. For example, people who won't take bribes. They won't be distorted. They won't, you know, go off on one, or they won't distort justice. And so you get the sense of this word around stability, reliability, like a rock. I'm going to come to that in a moment. It's like being, like when it comes to character, you see those things of stability, reliability, trustworthiness, and there's no distortion in it. That's the sense of emet. And so whenever we apply that into God, it works, but there's still a bit missing. And this is what the revelation that Jesus wants to bring you today. Because the question here is that the Lord is really asking, when he reveals himself as the God who is emet, I kind of go, well, how do you consider him? That's the question I had this week. Like, do I need to recalibrate, was the question I had. Because what the Lord is saying is, in the middle of it all, in the middle of everything that's going on, if you long for stability and reliability, if you want to know what you can bet the house on, to use that expression, for the days in front of you, then I am revealing myself as the one who is faithful. I'm the one who is faithful. Now, how do you respond to that, is the question that the Lord asks. It's easy to go, yes, Lord, you're faithful, move on. But that's not going to cut it on Wednesday when you look at your bank account and you go, flipping heck. You get me? When it comes to giving or it comes to something else, you go, can I trust him or can I not? Can I fall on the truth of who he is or can I not? That's why Moses actually called, he's the first one to call God a rock, right? So going back to the Amalekite thing. And what he says is, actually, Moses says, God, you are my rock, and meaning that you're faithful, you're just, and you're upright. He's saying that he can trust God to be consistent to his character and who he's revealed himself to be. Now, what's interesting is that the word then for trust is like, if the word that God reveals is emet, our response in Hebrew is a word called heamin, all right? Now, this is really important, because we're going to see this then through the whole way of Scripture, right through to Jesus. And what it means is, Moses is saying, Lord, because you're a rock, because you're stable, because you're upright, you are emet. My response is a hemin, which means I will believe or I will have faith. And I will, this is how it actually translates, I will consider you somebody who is trustworthy. I will consider you as someone who is trustworthy. Now, for all of us, that cuts to the heart of where we're at today, doesn't it? Do we, or how much do we consider? If I say, do we consider, right, God to be trustworthy today, Jesus to be trustworthy for the stuff of your life, you'll go, yes. That's not the right question. It's how much do we consider him to be trustworthy? Because every single one of us has stuff that we've either just walked through, we are walking through, or we feel like we've yet to walk through, which is going to eat away at what? It's going to eat away at the central promise over your life is, can you trust God with what he said he would do for you? That's it. Will he heal despite our experiences of the past? Will he provide? Even though sometimes you've gone, oh my goodness, how's this going to work out? Will he, whatever it happens to be? And this is why this revelation of God's grace is so important, because what's happening is God wants, he's revealing this and speaking to this in the middle of us making a mess of things. Trusting, not trusting, getting it right, not getting it right, all of that stuff. And the Lord just stands above it all and just says, no, but this is who I am. Keep looking up and seeing me in the middle of it all. Because I, when you are unfaithful, I am faithful. When you don't trust, it doesn't move me one bit. I am a rock. I am stable. I'm not moving anywhere, the Lord says. You can bounce off me all you like on your journey towards trust, and I'll not move one inch from you. Does that make sense? in the middle of a world, do you know what's interesting? When I look at the world out there today, I see I see lots of things going on, but particularly even around some of the big social issues of the day, right? Where the whole idea of truth, what do we trust, right? Because when we take away the central rock of what we build our lives around, okay, and we remove that, and everything else is up for grabs, one of the things is we live really, really poorly and insecurely, okay? All things to all men. It doesn't work. And I actually think that's the spiritual thing that's going on in these days that we're living in. It's about removing any sense of stability and consistency from people so they can know above all things that there is someone bigger and greater than the mess of all this. And that's the agenda. And that's why the Lord says today, I'm faithful. In the middle of it all, I am stable. I am reliable. My promise is true. I am faithful to you in your unfaithfulness. Now trust me. Do you see how he's not coming to you going, your unfaithfulness is a real problem for me. Your lack of faithfulness is a real big issue. We're going to have to talk about this, and I'm going to have to beat you. I'm going to have to give you something really scary to get you back in line. Do you get that? If you keep going this way, you're going to end up in an accident. But then at least the Lord says, I've got your attention. You know that crazy stuff, right? I hear this stuff, and sometimes it's even from the Christians. Oh, the Lord flooded New Orleans because of the Mardi Gras. No, he didn't. Lord sent AIDS because of the gay people. No, he didn't. So is that too controversial for you? The God that we love and serve says that he so loved us that he sent us Jesus so that nobody would perish. Do you think after the cross of Christ that he's sitting there going, oh, brilliant, Peter, roll out a few infectious diseases here for that crowd over there because they're flipping in Egypt. Let's give him a wee dose of something. Wee dose of... Like, we need to wise up. He's faithful. He's faithful to you. Think of all your unfaithfulness this week and just come back and say, Jesus, thank you that you were faithful when I wasn't. Why? Because that's who he told us he would be, and he's never changed his mind. And so let me keep going here. Is this okay? Okay, good. Because, so what the Lord says is, do you consider me trustworthy? And he's okay if some of you go, I think so. Like, I want to believe, but help me where I don't believe. No, the disciples said that. The Lord's okay with that today, right? He wants us to go on that, like move along the scale where our hearts become more sort of wedded to the truth of who he is. But he's okay this morning if you go, I want to believe more, I want to trust more, and I want to live in that place. Because what you're going to see is actually in Jesus, I'll come to it now. I'll come to it in a minute. He's not going to discount you on the journey along. He kind of knows where you're at this morning is what I'm trying to say. And he goes, it's okay, all right? But keep asking yourself every day, you know, not do I trust him, but Lord, where can I trust you today? What do I need to know that your word says to me today that will give me stability in the middle of all of this? See, when it comes to your money, folks, right now, I honestly, this is a time to double down on what the Lord reveals to you in Scripture about who is your provider and who is your source. Will God faithfully see all of you through, not just through this winter, but to a place of blessing so that the people look around you and go, how on earth do you live so blessed? Like, seriously. Because there's no point in raising your hand and saying, oh, hallelujah, and then kind of going, like, I need a wee bit more of me and less of Jesus in this situation. Right? You need more of God's grace in this situation. What does he say about him being your... Where are you going to trust him today that he's your source? What's that going to look like for you? How are you going to respond to that? That's, I think, the question that God is asking you. Not to make you feel bad, but to go, I don't want you to live in fear and lack and worry. I am stable. I'm reliable. You can put your trust in me. And I will not move, right? But every time you take it back into your own hands, the Lord's good, but he's not going to override what you want to do. Do you get that? That's the whole, he loves you so much, he gives you the will to choose. We get to choose what God says, or we get to choose what we want to do. And that can be really frustrating, because sometimes you probably think, oh Lord, would you just not jump in anyway? But that would be overriding the will that he's given us to choose Jesus. So he says, like particularly when it comes to money, I think particularly, it's a time actually to double down, if you've never done it before, double down on who God is as your provider, and then listen to him, and it'll make no sense when it comes to giving, it makes no sense to the narrative of the world. But kingdom sense is not the same as worldly sense. Totally different. In fact, it's completely upside down. Jesus completely blew people's minds, didn't he? You want to find your life, you've got to lose it. You want to be the greatest, learn how to serve. What? Whoa! No, hold on. If you want to be the greatest, I need to elbow you in the face and get in front of you. That's the world, right? No, Jesus goes, no. Serve, okay? All this kind of stuff. If you want to live blessed, be a generous giver. What? Oh, no, I can't. How's that going to work? Well, it doesn't make sense in the natural. Supernatural results are not compute. You don't compute them with a natural mind. Do you get that? But what's the issue? The issue is not any, in one sense, that's all secondary to, do I believe that when he said faithful, stable, reliable, that my response is yes, I trust. That's the central issue. It's this thing of a met. How am I doing? Okay, he's enjoying it so far? Okay, good. Even if you're not, don't worry, I've only got about 10 minutes and then you'll be free to go, all right? It's always good, isn't it? Lock the back doors. I'm going Exodus 35. Let's get it right into it. I'm only kidding. No, it's really interesting. You're the first person. I'm going to do a series on this. I was telling Penny yesterday. I might start it next week. Even it's going to be brilliant. Because just as I was sitting this week, just pondering this stuff, reading it, and the first person that... Does anyone know who the first person in the Bible who God considered to be trustworthy? Anyone know? Abraham, right? God makes him a promise that Abraham and his wife Sarah are going to have this huge family. Remember the father of faith? That through them all the nations are going to experience God's blessing. We are, like it's righteousness by faith before the law, all that stuff. But the problem is Abraham and Sarah, as you know, are really, really old. And they haven't been able to have any kids. But do you know what happens is, you know what's different about Abraham? And his journey's incredible. You know, he only goes halfway at the start and all this other stuff going on with his family. And even though God speaks to him, but it says in Hebrew, in the original language, said that when the emet, when God's faithfulness was revealed to Abraham, his response was to, he considered God trustworthy and open to a way forward. And do you know what happens? Just within four generations, I was reading this week, actually, like from that moment of Abraham, and he didn't get it, he didn't go, yes, I believe, poof, he kind of got there on the journey, but within four generations, God had fulfilled the promise to him. That's crazy, right? Like, you'll fill the earth. This was like a geriatric couple who had never had kids. And then four generations later, they've populated the earth. Like, that's pretty good, right? But where did it start? Like, that's pretty impressive, old Abraham. You know what? See, when I see him in heaven, I'm going to give him a wee cheeky wink and go, ahead. I tell you what, fella. Too much? Come on, you're all thinking it. Every time you hear about Abraham, you share a bit, you'll go, so how did that actually work? Do you know what? When you get to heaven, you'll be able to ask him, go, Abraham, high fives, man. You know, it's like, woo. Anyway. But you know what? When God leads them out of slavery then into Egypt, they were told that in Hebrew, Israel, he-amined God. They trusted God. They relied on him. But do you know what's interesting? It breaks down whenever they come to the land that God promised. What's really interesting, it really starts to break down at the point where they're released and they go towards Canaan, like you and I going towards promise. When they get to the land and they see the challenges, it's full of giants and all that stuff, that's where we're told that their trust, their hiamin in God's emet, failed. Isn't that crazy? But do you not see exactly how it's the same thing happens to us? Here we are, whereas we're in the place of God's favor. Today is the day of God's favor in your life. He loves you. He is blessing you and working at this very minute. He is working behind the scenes of everything that you brought in here worrying about. You get that? in ways that you cannot see, with people you don't even know. There are even rooms and people today, this week, that you know nothing of, and you're being talked about and set up for blessing and for favor. I feel that over somebody's work. Stop trying to work it out. Where you're just doing your thing every day, God is already behind the scenes in rooms that you're not in, where you're going to be talked about, blessed, and promoted when you didn't even have a thing to do with it. Do you get me? All right? And that's what happens. But it's interesting, that's our place today. But just like the people back then, it's like when we get to the place, our faithfulness tends to, for us, what we see is their faithfulness actually struggled the most right at the point of favor. And that's why God calls them back to go, do you see me as faithful to you today? Do you see me as faithful? And so let me just quickly just tell you about Jesus as we get to the end. Because, you know, what happens is God then starts to work it out. Eventually, you know, you meet an Israelite, David, King David, and he, you know, when the giant comes against him, the whole thing of condemnation, you come with a sword and a spear, but I come in the name of the God of Israel, all right? Actually, what you read in Hebrew is there that David walked in emet. He amined God. So in the middle of all of these circumstances, all of these difficulties, all of these things coming in, the separator between those who didn't and those who were able to walk fully into God's favor was that they esteemed God as trustworthy. Do you get that? I can feel the Lord ministering to people in here this morning. Even where you sit. Excuse me. As the things that you've brought in here this morning, I didn't just want to simply go, God's faithful, woo, brilliant. But to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to every one of you, to go, what is it for you? What is it for you? There's a beautiful thing on YouTube. It's Pastor Prince ministering, I don't know, years ago. And I've told people about this before. And he ministering in free flow worship. Now, it's got about 2 million views on YouTube. I think 1.9 million of those are me, all right? Just going to throw that out. But it's just a moment. And I remember, I think I've said this to people before, where he just as he's ministering in worship. And we put it up on our Facebook this week, and so you can all watch it. It's brilliant. It's about 20 minutes. And it's this moment where I remember first of all, listening to this and going, Lord, that was like 10 years ago. It's been before like the rock, you know, it's back in the rock days, you know, before that. And the Lord said, I know, but the days that you live in, I made sure that was recorded so that you would be blessed today. And the same presence and power of Jesus as you listen. There's this moment where he goes, what is it that's bothering you? What is it that's weighing you down? So close your eyes, okay, all of you. And he says, I just want you to imagine Jesus standing face to face with you. And his arms are open, okay? And what is it that's weighing you down? Is it a relationship? Is it a sickness? What's the thing that always comes back to your mind? Is it a husband? Is it your future? Is it your money? He says, I want you to imagine holding these things in your hands. And then I want you to cast your cares to Jesus. Throw them to Jesus because he cares for you. Whatever it is, like the burdens just lifting and cast in your cares. What is it for you this morning, church? That it's the thing that always comes back to you. The thing that always seems to niggle at you. Is it health? Is it a loved one? What is it? The Lord stands today, right now in front of you with your eyes closed and his arms are open. And he says, give it to me. I'm faithful. Cast it to me. Give it over to me. And let me carry the weight and the burden of that. And let me transform that, the Lord says. So if I pray even now, Father, that as people, whatever those things are in people's heads, Father, that, you know, that they would give them to you, Lord. Because you're not here in judgment or in condemnation, Lord. You're here as the way maker. You're here as the burden lifter. You're here as the one who says, let me take this from you so that you can live free. And I am faithful. I am stable. I am reliable. I am consistent. I am the one who, when everyone else is losing their minds, going from pillar to post with the what's, the ifs, and the maybes, I am a strong rock, the Lord says. Faithful. So you can trust me. You might not know how it's going to work out. That's not your concern, the Lord says. You might not know which way it's going to go. The Lord says, don't worry, I know. You've got grace for today, the Lord says. You've got grace for this moment. You don't have grace for tomorrow yet. You've got grace for today. So don't worry about tomorrow, because when you're there, you'll have all the grace that you need. But today in this moment, the Lord says, bring it to me and give it to me, because I care for you. I'm faithful to you. In your unfaithfulness, I am faithful. So give it to me and I will carry it for you, the Lord says. Amen. So let me just finish this up. Now, whenever we get to the New Testament, and we look at this whole idea of God's faithfulness. You know, you've had Abraham and David and all the rest of it. You know, when you open the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, there's a genealogy. It's really interesting when you look at it. It says this is the genealogy, or the lineage, if you like, of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, right? So what's interesting is that the writer there is claiming that Jesus is the promised king to come and the one through whom all the people who were included in Abraham's family, okay, would be included. In other words, God is faithful to what he spoke to Abraham and David and everybody else. How? Through Jesus, right? This is for us. And so what's interesting is this word, and I've told you this before, but for some of you who haven't heard it, I had this revelation moment myself years ago when I was thinking about the character of God and you know, Jesus coming to embody God's faithfulness. Because the word emet in Hebrew, when we get to the New Testament, is the word aletheia in Greek. Now, I remember looking at this, and it was all around the area of healing, actually. And, like, so what happens is, at the very start of the New Testament, the Lord's encouraging us to go, every word that I spoke, when I revealed that I was faithful to Abraham and David and that whole lineage, there's one to come, his name is Jesus, and all of those promises will be fulfilled through Jesus for you. That's what he means. Because Jesus is this word. It says in John 8:32, this word emet now becomes aletheia, and Jesus uses that word to describe himself. In John 8:32, you know, it says, you will know the truth, all right? And the truth will set you free. This is Jesus speaking of himself. Now, knowing here is not the word to know in your head. It's the word to live by experience. You will experience truth. And the word here is aletheia, right? So you will experience Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. Because in John 14:6, Jesus went on to say, right, that he is God's aletheia. I am the way, he said, and I am the truth. So Jesus says, I am the truth, me, and when you know me, you'll be free. Isn't that incredible? So all of the promises that God ever spoke from Abraham through David to the line, through the whole lineage, Jesus is revealing and going, this word faithful or truthful, okay, when we get to the New Testament, that's me. Isn't that brilliant? And you and I are loved by him. You and I partake in his work. Every single promise, every single truth is yours through Jesus. This is what it says in Romans 15. Let me just finish by saying this. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, his aletheia, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, Abraham and David, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For as it is written, therefore I will praise you amongst the Gentiles and sing your name. So I tell you that Jesus became a servant to show God's emet or aletheia, to confirm all of those promises that he spoke all the way back to Abraham and David. Isn't that cool? I love that. So what he's doing is he's saying, in Jesus, I'm still faithful. My covenant is new. It is a covenant of my faithfulness, whereas they didn't understand that you do. In Jesus, all of these promises are gathered up, if you like, all right? He embodies them all, and he stands in front of you and says, give it to me, because I'm faithful. Amen. Exodus 34:6-7. I hope you've enjoyed it. Remember, I've encouraged you every week to read those verses to yourself, to write them out, stick them in your car, put them somewhere, and go, in the midst, can I believe God in these days? Can I trust God in these days? How is God looking at me and dealing with me in these days? And what do we know? Well, we know that he is compassionate and he's gracious. He's slow to anger, he's abounding in love, and he is faithful. Amen. Isn't God's grace amazing? Close your eyes for a minute. We're going to get ready to wind up here. Take your communion in your hands this morning. And we believe that there's power when we take communion. It's not just about tradition or anything like that. There's, because if you just look at it in your hands, this is about the sacrifice and the work of Jesus for you. Everything you need for life, for your future, for your children, for your homes, your businesses, your careers, everything you need is provided for in the work of Jesus. And so we elevate him and his work this morning. And Jesus, we say thank you that we know better this morning than what the world does. Not in a smart or an arrogant way, Father, but we know that because of this sacrifice, Lord, that we can expect to see your favor in these days. Lord, when the world loses its mind, Lord, and becomes darker, we thank you that your light in us burns brighter. And Father, we thank you that it's all because of your work for us. Jesus, we set our hope fully this morning on you and your grace, Lord. We set our hope fully on your work on the cross. Jesus, we say thank you that because you died for us, Lord, that this body broken for us, we can be whole and healed this morning, Lord, from the tops of our head to the soles of our feet, Father, everywhere in between, mind and body. Lord, I speak wholeness and health, fullness over your people in this place in Jesus' name. Father, we speak to every disease, every sickness. We curse them at their root. Father, and we speak wholeness. We speak soteria, your salvation over every body in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your blood poured out for us. Lord, we thank you that because your blood was poured out, we are free from every curse. Lord, sickness, lack, depression, anxiety, fear, worry, all of that stuff, performance, you have set us free, Lord. For us and for our homes, Lord. For our loved ones, Father, we say thank you for this promise. And we claim it, Lord, that everything that was written against us, every demand of the law was satisfied fully by your work, Lord. And your blood poured out and it went into the ground, Lord, and removed the curse from us, Lord. I pray that over somebody, over work this week. I just pray that one of the things that being a believer this morning in God's goodness and favor is that you, it's not that we're released from work, that's not, but the curse of work, the demand, the fear of provision and everything like that, the weight and the burden of responsibility for what we do in our work has been removed from us. And actually our work is meant to be something which brings life and brings not just provision, but life and purpose for us. And I just pray that over people today, that this week, Lord, where there's been like a demand on their career, a demand on their effort, a demand where there's been a depletion, Lord, I just pray for a refreshing and a renewal, Lord, this week. I pray that this week, Father, that they would start to see things move in their favor. Lord, that they would start to see situations and people and circumstances, Father, being ordered for their blessing, Father, as you work, Father, as you guide, as you are behind the scenes making the way for them. Why? Because we have been redeemed from that curse of always having to hurry and you know, kind of hustle and that's the world, that's not us. Jesus, because of your blood poured out. So we say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand to your feet.